Muggings and Meet Cutes. A Doom art fic written by Raggedy Red and read by 42 Do Not Panic. Summary. Matt resigns himself to a mugging. A stranger happens upon him. Matt is recovering from a headache, and he's pretty sure the best way to recover from a headache is by drinking. This is definitely one of his finer ideas. It's not a concussion. That's what he's telling himself, even though it has persisted for 3 days straight and began after someone got a lucky shot to the back of Matt's head. This is definitely a coincidence, though. His senses are maybe a bit more scattered than usual, but that's only because the headache is distracting, not because he actually incurred damage. He's Matt Murdock. He doesn't incur damage. Or at least not any damage that sticks. Well, beyond the blind thing. Like any good New Yorker, Matt isn't apologizing to anyone he hits with his cane as he sweeps it across the ground in front of him. Then, when the throng of people becomes too much and the scent of sweat and stress from the harried passers-by overwhelms him, he opts to take a shortcut on 43rd through the alleyway that will bring him a little closer to Brianna and Barn, which is somehow a step down from Josie's, but it'll have to do. There are far fewer people, even if the stench of grime is abundant and the trash piles high at the edge of every complex. Zoning laws here mean the buildings are shorter, too, but the number of apartments and people in each room tends to skyrocket despite the gentrification attempts. God, Matt fucking hates Wilson Fit. He freezes when he realizes four people are starting to follow him. Better yet, they're coordinated in a way that suggests they've been at this for a while. It's not something he's actually worried about. Except, well, he's still in his day suit, and the last time he did anything during the sun, Jessica Jones took photos that he had to destroy. Considering he didn't have a headache then, like he has right now, he imagines he'd be even less graceful in his escape. Escape. Because he isn't looking for a fight. Which means he can neither escape nor fight. Matt sighs and continues tapping his cane along. Fine. He'll probably lose his drinking money, but in the long term, it's worth it to avoid raising any eyebrows. Especially since three of the guys have knives, and the one without a knife has a gun. There are three other people in the nearby vicinity, but Matt knows he's the obvious target. Seeing as there's no seeing to be had on his part. One of the bystanders is starting to pass. Matt imagines that the second they've turned out of the alley, the four muggers will strike. He'll have to pretend to be surprised. But then the bystander's heart rate jumps, his head cocking as he seems to take stock of the four men stalking this other man. All four of those men have hands in various pockets, and Matt is pretty sure at least two of them have their hoods up. The stranger pauses for a second, makes a decision, swings his whole body in on his non-prosthetic leg to face Matt, and with great exaggeration says, "Mark, my friend, what the hell are you doing here, huh?" He throws an arm over Matt's shoulders and quickly, quietly, "You're being followed. Sorry about this." Awkwardly, Matt plasters on a smile. This man has a slight French lilt, one that was more exaggerated in his harried whisper. "Ah," Matt said, the pulsing in his head making improvisation a little bit hard right now. "Michael?" he says, immediately trying not to wince. "That you?" The man steers Matt around with a sharp, convincing laugh that makes Matt's own smile a little bit easier. "You never miss. Except right now, apparently. We are on 43rd, not 41st. You were supposed to meet me there. Come on." He hooks his arm through Matt's properly and with an easy familiarity that has to look natural to the muggers. As though the stranger helping Matt does, in fact, know this random blind man knocking his way down the street. "I cannot believe I spotted you, Jesus," the stranger goes on, clearly just speaking to fill any potential silence as he leads Matt right past the four muggers who have paused, reconsidering. "Afternoon," the man says to the four, tone conveying a broad smile, and they say nothing back. "New Yorkers," which the man Matt has dubbed Michael ignores, going on. "I swear, Mark, you're going to walk into a stranger's apartment someday and I'm going to laugh and laugh and laugh. And then maybe talk them out of calling the police, eh?" He laughs again, and Matt is still wearing that slightly stilted smile as he laughs along too. "Hopefully I never make it quite that far," he says, and the stranger squeezes his arm, pulls Matt back into the full throng of the street, and turns out of the alleyway's sight. Immediately, he releases Matt, taking a step back with his hands up. He's positioned himself between Matt and the muggers, perhaps in case they decide to make a bold move. Sorry about that again. Damn, does not look like they are coming back after you. You need me to tell you what happened? Oh, yeah. Matt's supposed to be largely ignorant of what just happened. Please do, he says. Followed? A group of four. All of them were armed, one with a revolver. This, the Mantats. Young enough, 20s to 30s. Probably no military training, but some technical experience. But not too dangerous. Well, not so dangerous that I think you have anything to worry about now. Matt blinks. That's very observant. It helps with working eyes. Matt snorts. He wraps a hand against his temple, already feeling himself beginning to relax, headache aside. Yeah, I suppose that would help. His smile turns even easier, and he drops his hand, landing so he's facing the man's face as he says, though maybe I would have had an easier time escaping. If they came at me, I'd just kick out your prosthetic leg and run off. The man tilts his head back in a laugh, bringing a hand to his chest and shaking his head. Mon Dieu, you do not hold back either, but how did you know? Matt freezes. Know what? The man bends over to rap against his prosthetic. This, the leg. Matt says, then, I heard it, your gait, and how you leaned when you were guiding me. Sorry. The man snorts. No need to be sorry, it just seems I am not the only observant one. I'm John Paul, not actually from around here, as you can probably tell. Matt Murdock, Matt says, sticking out his hand. John Paul takes it and gives two quick shakes. Sorry I called you Mark, first name that came to mind, but hey, it's not too far off, huh? No, I suppose it wasn't, Matt says, still grinning. I was way off base, though, but I suppose that's what I get when I can't think up anything original. But why Mark, anyway? John Paul pulls his hand back and seems to consider, though his breath hitches for just a moment. Friend of mine, he settles on. Why Michael? It's my middle name. And, well, my saint's name. Matthew Michael Michael Murdock, he says, moving his hand so they are both resting atop his cane. That's a lot of M's, Matthew Michael Michael Murdock, Jean-Paul says, and the name slides off his tongue in that sharp accent pointedly. Matt knows. Jean-Paul is, once again, exaggerating. For some reason, that makes Matt flush. Well, thanks for your help back there, Jean-Paul. Jean-Paul shifts his weight. At least let me escort you a few blocks. For my own sake, not yours. I'm sure you'd be able to run fast at the first sign of trouble. Leans forward again. That is, if you hear it. I happen to have very good hearing. Matt lifts an eyebrow. I will drink to that, Jean-Paul offers. Funnily enough, I was actually on my way to get a drink at Brianna and Barn, Matt says wryly, or really any bar that's a bit quieter than the rest of the city. Oh? He says. Well, like I said, I am new to the area. At the very least, I could use a friend to show me someplace that is not crawling with tourists like me. Besides, I owe you one for the blind joke, huh? I probably owe you one for pulling me out of there, Matt cocks his head. I'll take us somewhere nearby. Almost any of the bars here aren't going to be hotspot for tourists, given. He shrugs, allowing the location to speak for himself. Only Jean-Paul goes, given what? We're in Hell's Kitchen. Oh, I thought I was in Clinton. Matt snorts. Same thing. I'm pretty sure they've embraced it, too. I'm told half the signs say Hell's Kitchen nowadays. Jean-Paul says, if there were Hell's Kitchen signs, I'd miss them all. Perhaps somebody was pranking you, Matt. Fucking Foggy. That man was going to be the death of him. First he messes with Matt's text-to-speech so it won't capitalize anything. And at least one other thing, though Matt hasn't figured out what else is wrong with the messages he's sending. Admittedly, all Matt has to do to get Foggy to fix it is say, please. They're both very petty and very stubborn, and maybe they're both suffering for it. What else are best friends for? Maybe so, he says dryly. At least that means I get to give you your first official welcome here. Jean-Paul whistles. Why, thank you. Hey, at least my introduction doesn't have to come from Le Diable, eh? Daredevil? I would not have been surprised if I had managed to get myself in that kind of trouble. Matt doesn't stiffen. He hopes. He inhales. Then says, on what side of him? Oh, have him help save my ass. I can handle my own, sure, but... Jean-Paul elbows him. You likely have a better idea than I do of how closely he monitors the place. I've had my fair share of vigilantes, and if I can, I tend to stay clear of meeting new ones. Not that I don't respect them, monsieur. It just gets complicated. He sounds like he's speaking from experience, which... I imagine it would get complicated. Then he tilts his head, redirecting them towards 44th. Come on, blind leading the tourist. Jean-Paul laughs again, and Matt's smile is instant, spontaneous, and he's not exactly used to that. It's nice. It's weird. Lead the way, mon ami, Jean-Paul says, and then he's again hooking his arm through Matt's. Matt realizes that he quite likes the familiar way Jean-Paul does that. And well, if Matt's head still hurts, he thinks he's happy to ignore it for the company.